The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
It is one of our favorite shows around here. If you have a pet, and just about 230 million of us do, this is Dr. Rev's Dark Side of the Pooch. From the Rossburg Animal Hospital, he joins us every single week. Dr. Rev, how are you?
I'm fantastic. We're getting ready for Easter. Yes. So I love Easter, and yes. We're doing great, man.
There you go. Easter right around the corner, depending on when you're going to be listening to the show. Of course, you can hear it at least five times on the TKR app. And, of course, wherever you get your podcast, the Tony Curry Radio Podcast, you can hear the show forever, if you like. So that's good stuff. And since we're talking about Easter, again, depending on when you're listening to it, obviously something you want to keep away from your little furry friends, right? Because there's nothing in an Easter basket that's good for your dog.
Pretty much correct.
Yeah.
Especially live chicks.
Yeah, have you had that issue before?
No, but you know, like some people, it's really cool. They go the live chick route. You know, some people do, some people don't. But you know, lots of candy, so keep them away from that because it makes the kids upset and mm-hmm. it makes the dogs go crazy. Basically, if they get too much of it.
Have you ever had? I know you've had dogs coming in with hair ties or cats with hair ties. They just eat. Dogs ingest all kinds of stuff. You ever had dogs eat that plastic grass?
No, I think all the dogs have passed on grass. I think.
All right. Okay. He's Dr. Rab Stewart. We're just getting this show started. 208-0301 is their phone number. Area code 205 at Rossburg Vet on Twitter. The Rossburg Vet, or the Rossburg Animal Hospital, should I say, on Facebook. Check them out. They do wonderful work. And it's brought to you by Ed's Pet World. Their number is 205-879-1331. Seth is about ready to open up his own brick and mortar when it comes to toys. Yeah, they've been doing pets for nearly 50 years down there in Homewood. They got everything, including Easter bunny rabbits. I was just down there yesterday. They have a ton of rabbits down there, guinea pigs. All kinds of great animals, marmots. They got flying squirrel. They got everything down there, all kind of exotic pets. And then Seth, of course, has his toy closet, which means you can get all kinds of collectible toys, watches, stuff still in the box from years ago or even recent stuff. So check him out, 879-1331, Ed's Pet World. All right, I'm glad that we get you on today because I had a neighbor a couple days ago who have two dogs. One medium-sized dog, a smaller dog. I'm not sure what their makes are. I think they're mutts. And they've been together for about 4 years and seem to get along very, very well. The other night, the woman calls me. Everyone knows I know you. And I wasn't going to bother you with the news. But evidently, dogs got into a fight, and the one dog bit the other dog's leg, and it appears to have broken it. And she's like, Now all of a sudden, I can't leave my two dogs alone. And she's not sure what happened. She just heard the one smaller dog yelping and the other one was chewing on its leg. How often does that happen? What causes those types of things? I know my dogs growl at each other when they want to be left alone, or maybe you get inside their dog space or their dog food space. But is that something that we need to be concerned about?
I think that you need to be concerned about it if it happens. Anytime we introduce dogs, you want to introduce them slowly if you're bringing in a new pet to the household. Mm-hmm. But it's pretty unusual for dogs that have been together for that long to suddenly start having issues, you know, with each other. So it was kind of unexpected. So I wouldn't expect somebody to have to be looking out for that. The dogs have been together for 4 years, mm-hmm. and they've given this person no reason to think that there was going to be a problem. So, you know, once you have two pets that are, they do develop a problem, you know, then you probably do want to be sure that they're getting along. So first thing I would do is I would get both of them looked at to be sure that they're, you know, they're not having some type of ailment, because sometimes as dogs get older, the normal playing stuff that they used to do doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
Because the other dog is sore or uncomfortable or sick or something like that. So first thing I do is have them checked out, and then if everything is deemed, you know, healthy, you know, then we got to start talking about the dog's behavior and be sure that we don't need some type of mood altering drug or something like that. But when we're introducing new pets for the first time, you definitely want to keep them on a leash, and be sure that they're going to be okay. The new dog needs to be on a leash, and sometimes even the dog that's already established needs to be on a leash. So we know that they're going to get along, and if they don't, we can separate them quickly.
Is this when you have dogs, and when she said they've been together for 4 years, I was like, wow, that's a long time, because that's not something that you would expect. I mean, she got the one dog and she got the other dog to keep the other one company. So you would expect them to get along. Is that something that is usually like a relationship where it's death by a thousand cuts, where it's just finally to the point where the dog breaks? Or can it just be something like, hey, I'm just not feeling well today and I'm going to bite your leg?
Oh man, it could be both.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it could be either one. So, you know, you're not, it's hard to know, especially because, you know, these dogs, they stay together, you know, even when the owner's not home. And so that's what makes it so difficult, because you don't really know what happened. You know, you weren't there. There's no one there to tell you. They're certainly not going to tell you. You know, they're worse than kids. Kids are always going to lie to you when they get in a fight. Dogs can't lie to you at all.
Sure. Very interesting. And that's certainly something. And so to kind of put a bow on this thing, if in fact your dogs have fought for the first time, is that a precursor that perhaps they can fight again, or is it something that they just kind of get out of their system?
It's definitely something that you want to look out for. I'm not saying that they will fight again, but at that point you need to be on your guard, you know?
All right. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. We get tons of emails and I'm going through them right now. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Speaking of mood altering drugs, Jerry in Cincinnati wants to know, is it okay for my dog to eat mushrooms? I'm assuming he's talking the mushrooms in his backyard. If you live in a wooded area, it rains a little bit, you get mushrooms popping up everywhere. I know some are poisonous for humans. What about dogs?
Well, if you're doing mushrooms, you know, outside the yard, then yeah, those can definitely be poisonous. If you're doing mushrooms that you would eat yourself, then no. But yeah, mushrooms that are in the yard, you want to be sure that they stay away from those. Other mushrooms that you would get from in the grocery store, you're good there.
Why do dogs like acorns so much?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
That's a great question. And I think it's just one of those things where they want to put those things in their mouths, just to see what they kind of feel like. I don't really think they have a smell to them.
Yeah.
I think they're just interested in the texture on their tongue.
They're incredibly bitter too. Have you ever had one?
No, you can't eat them.
Oh, I know. I mean, but they're really, I mean, I've tried to put salt on one and try to actually, and they're just bitter as hell. They're not good. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Dr. Rab Stewart, Rossburg Animal Hospital is a place to find him. 208-0301. We'll go through some emails today here. Helen in Minneapolis. I think this may be a first for Minneapolis. She just started a compost pile, and her dogs used to go out, pee and poop, do their business, and come back in. Now, all of a sudden, they seem to be out in the yard a little bit more, and she's fearful that maybe some of the things she puts in her compost, she has heard about, is it mycotoxins, perhaps, that can be started by composting in her backyard, and she has heard that it can be a poisonous element for her pets. Do you know anything about that?
Well, I mean, I would think that there could be some, some... at least upset stomach issues from eating stuff like that. But there's going to be bacteria in that stuff for sure. But at the same time, you know, dogs eat rotting stuff all the time, especially dogs that are, you know, stray dogs and stuff like that. So it's just a good rule of thumb to keep dogs from eating anything that is not on their normal diet or dog food.
Dark Side of the Pooch with Dr. Rab Stewart. We do it every single week. You hear it at least 5 days a week on TKR, Tony Curry Radio, wherever you get your podcast. We're on every major indice out there. Brought to you by Ed's Pet World, a home of course, every exotic pet you could possibly want, plus all those great toys. Some details on Seth's new place coming up here shortly. We'll let you know exactly where you can find that place. It's going to be huge. Before we get to more emails, I saw this really interesting article last week about the Dog Aging Project. Have you heard this?
Oh, I have heard about this.
Yeah,
but you're going to have to refresh me. You're going to have to refresh my memory on that one.
So they're trying to figure out how to add an average of, say, 3 to 5 more years to the livelihood of our dogs. And they're going to do it with something called rapamycin. Do you know what I'm talking about there?
Yeah, I remember this article, but I remember scanning it briefly, but I'm not super familiar with the method that they're going to do it.
Yeah. Basically, this particular medicine, and I think it was actually intended for humans, affects the autoimmune system in that it stops the attack, I guess, of internal organs as you get older. And based on their studies, it's keeping our dogs living 3 to 5 years longer. I would ask you this as a veterinarian. Now, assuming that those are 3 to 5 healthy years, and based on our show we did last week, I talked about a good friend of mine who had to put their 16-year-old dog down, and it was horrible. Is that a good thing or not? Because, I mean, we can't stop the aging process, but we can keep something from dying.
If it adds good years, then I'm all for it. But we wouldn't want a dog to live 3 to 5 extra years if they're not going to be in good quality, you know.
Yeah.
So if it kept them healthy, then I think that's great. And I think a lot of people, when you get to a mature dog, and mature dogs like are on cruise control, you know, like those are the good years, you know. So you get, it's like kind of like a person, like you get to retirement age and man, like, you know, you're feeling good. Yeah. So if we can add years to that lot, to that stage of life where the dog isn't, you know, it's not peeing and pooping in the house. It's potty trained. It's, you know, it knows all the family members.
All right, cool. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Joe in Nixon, Tennessee. I don't even know where Nixon, Tennessee is. We've got spring break. We just had, we're getting ready for summer vacations. I know you're going to be taking a quick vacation. A lot of people are getting out of town. He wants to know what's best for our little furry friends, to leave them in the house and have a dog sitter come over and so make sure they're in their comfortable surroundings, or have them boarded. I guess it's a cost effective type of thing, but is it better to have the dogs in the house without their family and have a stranger coming over and watch the dogs, or is it better off just putting them in a boarding facility and knowing that they're safe?
I think that the boarding facility should be the first option. And of course, I'm going to recommend a boarding facility that has a veterinarian like us.
Yeah.
I would recommend that first, mainly because if they do get sick, there's something that goes wrong, you have somebody there that is trained that can take care of them. Now, there are some dogs that do not need to be boarded. They freak out, they stress, they can wind up making themselves sick because of that. Mm-hmm. You know, they get vomiting and diarrhea. It just turns into a nightmare. You have a dog that you board, and that happens. You know, if they get sick while they're boarding, at that point, you want to find somebody to watch them in your home.
Yeah.
I think going the route of a boarding facility that has an affiliation with veterinary practice would be option number one. And if it doesn't work out for them, then don't do it again.
Okay. I would think that, you know, you want your dogs to be comfortable if you're going to be gone for a week. And you'd like for them to be in their own kennels and their own dog beds, depending on whether you can. I would not leave my dogs at home if I had them kenneled up the entire time. But sometimes I think just boarding them and having some eyeballs on them all the time, I think would be a better way. And of course, you can certainly do that at the Rossbridge Animal Hospital, 205-208-0301. I will tell you by experience, they fill up really, really fast because you have one of the best boarding vets there. So make sure you get to there early. Don't call a couple days ahead of time and say, oh, by the way, I'm leaving town on Saturday. Can you take care of me? Because chances are it's not going to happen. Seth in Pensacola wants to know, this is a pretty easy question, but you may answer it. We had dinosaurs that lived a long time. We have elephants that lived 75 years. Why do smaller dogs live longer than big dogs?
Because they just don't get the same problems. They're not as prone to cancer is the main thing, but also their frame doesn't carry a lot of weight. When their frame's not carrying around a lot of weight, they're not going to get arthritis and that sort of thing. They're not going to have their joints breaking down on them. But big dogs are real prone to abdominal cancer, thoracic cancer, bone cancer. So, you know, that claims them a lot sooner. And small breed dogs don't have those issues.
Just because, but I would think because you're a bigger dog, you'd have bigger bones. But what's the cancer thing all about? Why is that?
It's just, it's genetics. It's just in the bloodlines of these large and giant breed dogs. I can't really explain it any further than that, but it's like, you get these Mastiffs and Great Danes, and I can't tell you how many of these dogs over the years that I have put down because they have osteosarcoma. It just doesn't happen in small breed dogs.
That's kind of crazy. All right, I got to ask you about this, and we have not talked about this. And maybe it's because the French Bulldog just won the Westminster Dog Show several weeks ago. But for the first time in 31 years, we have a new beloved and best breed or favorite breed in the United States, and that is the French Bulldog, taking over the Labrador Retriever, which was the number one dog in the United States for 31 years. As a veterinarian, your thoughts on that? Because we talk a lot about snub-nosed dogs, short-nosed dogs, and some of the things you have to deal with from a medical standpoint, and they can't fly and they can't breathe well, blah, 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 blah. And I know that we love the newest and greatest things, but I can't imagine that the French Bulldog, all of a sudden, ownership's over 600% over the last 3 years. Why is that? What's your thoughts on that?
What was the movie with Zach Galifianakis where he had that French Bulldog? It was not a great movie, no. But I remember, you know, thinking, man, this is really going to boost French Bulldog ownership. So, I don't know. I attribute everything to the media, you know, anytime there's, even if it's like a commercial, you know, anything that blows up, I attribute because it's either internet or it's TV shows or radio or whatever it is. I don't know. Maybe people who got these French Bulldogs are really active on social media. And so people are just being blasted on TikTok with French Bulldogs. But I mean, we see a lot of them. Now we still see the most popular breed that we see is hands down the Labradoodle.
Really?
You know, which is not, it's not really a lab. It's not really a poodle. And there's also golden doodles, and it's not really a golden, and it's not really a poodle. It's a mix. But I mean, I cannot tell you how many of these breeds and variations. So at Rossbridge Animal Hospital, it is by far and away a, you know, type of doodle breed that we see. I mean, we see multiple a day, every day.
You know, I think this comes with age too, because when I was young, I was like, I'm a big dog guy. I got to, you know, I'm not getting one of those small little yappy dogs. And now that I'm in my 50s, I'll take the little dog over the big dog any day. Just first of all, for the size of the poop and the size of the pee, they don't eat as much. They're not as expensive. They seem to be much more apt to be lap dogs. They're not so hyper. I know they may bark like they're hyper, but the smaller dog, man, is the way to go.
I'm with you, man. Small dogs. Hey, the medicine costs a lot less too. you know, all the drugs that you have to have, and they can sit in your lap and be your buddy. And you know, being big dogs are fine too, but I don't know, man. There's something about a little companion sitting in the front seat of your truck, or, you know, sitting in your lap while you're watching evening TV.
I love it. I do have a couple questions here, and we've gone through our emails here on Mutt Mail, info@TonyCurryRadio.net. We'll always take your emails and we'll read them. He's Dr. Rab Stewart, Rossbridge Animal Hospital. This is Dark Side of the Pooch, one of our favorite names of any show we do here on Tony Curry Radio. And, of course, you can find it wherever you get your podcast, so check it out. We did have one final question I'll get to, and then I'm going to ask you another question from the Curry household. This is from Jan in Hueytown. She wants to know, what's Dr. Rab's favorite dog movie? You were just talking about the Galifianakis movie. What's your favorite dog movie? She says Old Yeller, Turner and Hooch, or what's the other one she's got on here? Lady and the Tramp. I'm a Lady and the Tramp guy myself, but what's your favorite dog movie?
I like horror movies and I like Stephen King, so I think you know where I'm going with this. It's Cujo.
You're going for the Cujo thing?
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, I've got Rainer. I've got an Australian Shepherd. Smartest dog I've ever had. He's an amazing animal. The reason we got him, he was a rescue because he was busy killing cats with the previous family he was with. Anything that goes running by him, he's going to chase it. He won't chase like golf carts, but he will chase bicycles, runners, things like that. Squirrels, forget about it. Anything that runs across the floor, he's going to get after it. Now, I have taught him. Since I moved into my new digs, my next door neighbor's got 7 cats. And so it's a free for all. And I've gotten him now where he comes out of the dog or door. I look at him and I say, no cats, go to the door. And he will sniff around. He'll lower his butt a little bit. He'll look like he's going to run after it. But then he always goes to the front door, which I'm super happy with. The best way to train an animal for it not to chase something, is it okay to put it on a leash and have that animal right in front of him and say,
oh, for sure.
Okay, and say no, or are you teasing? Sure. Are you teasing? The only way I can analogize it is like taking a guy into a strip club and showing him what he's looking at and saying, you can't touch this, or you're better off just not even letting him see the animal?
Oh yeah. I mean, keep him on a leash. Maybe the more often that you see something, you know, and they're not able to get it, then maybe eventually they'll learn that that's just not theirs to get. So like, yep, if they're continually exposed to a cat or a bird or whatever, and they're on a leash, or you have some other restraining device on it, then eventually I think they'll learn to leave it alone.
Yeah.
So I think that you've done well. Expose them to it and make it so they can't get it. So maybe then eventually they'll associate that with, hey, I can't get that, and not even try.
Yeah. It used to be, we'd get home and I'm not kidding you, there'd be three or four cats about 75 feet up in trees in our neighborhood. All right. Finally, before we go, I want to share a quick story with you. This is how much we love our animals. And I don't think I've shared this yet. But I got about an hour and a half on my daughter's ballet class the other night, and I'm with my son, my special needs son. And I thought, I'm going to take the dogs with us. And I wasn't in a dog walking mood. My dogs like to pull a little bit. I try to heel, I try to pull them back. But every time they walk, you think they'd never taken a walk in their life. They're pulling, they're sniffing, they got to stop at everything. It's that type of dog, but I'm cool with that. I'm fine. So we go to Spain Park, and I'm with my Havanese and Rainer, the big dog. And of course, the first thing Rainer does is takes a massive do right next to the running track at Spain Park. Now, normally he'll wait till he goes into the woods. He doesn't do it like right in the middle of the park. And the Spain Park high school team was running the track that day. So there was a guy with a whistle. There was a lot going on. And so everyone saw what happened. And of course, the coach is kind of looking at me, and you know what he's expecting me to do. He wants me to pick it up. Well,
sure.
There wasn't one of those little boxes with the bags anywhere remotely close to where I was. It was near the volleyball courts. And so I saw the bag dispenser, and it was like 300 yards on the other side of the park. And I thought, okay, what am I going to go get this bag? And so I'm asking a couple, do you have a bag? And no one had a bag. And so I had a couple of tissues in my hand, because of allergies. And I knew that the tissues weren't going to cover up the pile, but everyone was watching me pick this poo up. And just as I reached over to pick up the poo, I had the leash around my wrist. You know what happened? The dog pulled and I went knee into the dog poop. Yeah, it's funny now, but I was at my wit's end, because when you've got something constantly pulling on you, and I kept pulling him, I said, come on, pull back, you know, heel. I'm having to pick up this dog's feces. And then he pulled me at the last second. I lose my step and my right and left knee went straight into the pile. And of course, it was a big laugh for everyone else. I'm not sure if I dropped an obscenity or some profanity at that point in time. It was kind of a blur. But that's how much we love our pets. So I just wanted to share that story.
What's your level of frustration at that point? Is it like an easy 10 out of 10?
Easy 10 out of 10. And it was so high that I started to laugh maniacally, you know, okay. You know, and mama said there's going to be days like this. And then, you know, I went back to the playground after I went to the bathroom and wiped everything off my knees and everything. And I paused and prayed for a little bit. I meditated and realized that God was going to give me a new day the next day. I thought, you know what, I can do this and we're good to go. But it was not funny at the time, but looking back on it, it was really hilarious.
I thought maybe the story was going to end with Frisco, like somehow just eating the poop for you, like looking up at you.
Oh, that would have been.
Hey, Dad, listen, I know your struggles, man, and I'm going to take one for the team here, and I'm going to literally eat crap for you.
Can I tell you something? I would have allowed him to eat that poop if he had wanted to. I know it probably would have made him sick, but let me tell you what now. It was a Golden Corral poop. There was more there than you could handle. It was seconds and thirds and fourths. But hey, you know what? Silver lining, he didn't do it in the car, right? So I'm like, hey, that's a good thing. But I was like, you know, of all the places to drop a deuce right in front of because I'm going to be honest with you, had there not been anybody around, I ain't picking up the poop. I'm with you. If I thought, and listen, I know this is good, and I know it makes our parks and our streets much cleaner, and I understand there's now laws. There's laws in some parks. It's a $500 fine if your dog poops and you don't pick it up. $500 fine in Hoover. Which is, I get it too. And it's great. And anyone that's stepped in it, I mean, there could be one pile of poop in the yard. You close your eyes, you walk out there, you're going to step in it. It's just the way it is. Dogs somehow never step in their own poop, or at least we don't think they do. But in this particular case, I probably would have left it and I probably would have felt bad about it. So I'm kind of glad I did, but.
Well, you know, it is a public health concern for dogs that do have intestinal parasites, yeah. You know, because some of these parasites are zoonotic.
True.
And there was a, you know, I mean, this is like probably centuries ago at this point, but hookworms were a real big problem in a lot of different areas because there was lots of poop and people would come in contact with the poop with their skin, and then they were getting hookworms, which just caused a whole host of issues. So, you know, I get it because it's a public health concern. But I think that most people are just like, ew, you know, that's gross. Like, get that out of here. I mean, hey, man, it's fertilizer.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes my grass brown. So I don't know if it's a fertilizer or not, but yeah, it's true. All right,
well,
Dr.
It's because the grass underneath is dying. The grass underneath is dying. It's not getting, like, light and stuff. So that's why it dies, because it's a big pile of it.
There you go. Dr. Rabb, tell people how they can find you.
Well, you won't be able to find me for the next week, but after that, you can find me at Rossbridge Animal Hospital. So you can call us at 208-208-0301. You can email us at rossbridgeanimalhospital@gmail.com, or you can find us on Facebook.
We love you, man. Thank you, brother.
You got it.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.